That Pharaoh's a popular guy. You know, we sing about him a count. We've been singing about Pharaoh for many years at camp. I think even back to kindergarten, primary, and junior camp. So that's a good song. All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 John 1. We're talking about the light. See the light up there? Light's jumping from chair to chair. And it's on the move. We should be on the move like that. Like lightning. Fast for God. But beginning with verse 5, I'll be reading verse 5, 6, and 7 this morning. Living in the Light is our message title this morning. And verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself," talking about Jesus, "is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now last week, you noticed I spoke about establishing fellowship with God. You know, all Christians fellowship, well, our Christian fellowship originated from God from the very beginning. He started that relationship with Adam and Eve, had a great relationship with them until sin entered their lives, and that fellowship was temporarily broken or separated because of that sin. But it was restored because God forgave them. They repented. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, provided a way for sin, which comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, to have fellowship with God opens the door to the fellowship with other brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's a good thing. That's a great thing that we can have as Christians, to have that kind of fellowship. We have fellowship, first of all, with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then, brothers and sisters, as one in the body of Christ, we have fellowship with each other. So the right kind of relationship, God sustains and grows fellowship with others. And that's very important in the Christian life. And that's why John is relating to us here in this scripture. I'm enjoying reading and studying these series out of the epistles of John, because it shows us so much about God's love, His fellowship, along with what sin does to our lives. And it causes us to be unassociated with Christ in that fellowship realm until we get things right again with God. So there are conditions to joyful fellowship with God. And to have fellowship with God, you know, first of all, you must have something in common with Him. And that one thing that we can have in common with Him, that we belong to Him, that we are born again Christians, not born again Christians, because if you're saved, you are born again. But you have that relationship with Him. You belong to Him, and He established that through Jesus Christ. And another thing, you must have a spiritual nature and be developing a moral character like God, with whom you desire to have that fellowship with. And it's an ongoing building that relationship. It's an ongoing working out your salvation, not to be saved, but working out through your faith and doing the things that God has called us to do. for him while we're here on this earth. See, those who would experience this relationship must not only share like a spiritual nature, but they must also be constantly connected with God. And that is very important, to be connected. You know, we like to be connected to something, all right? You like to be connected to your phones, right? Because, you know, how do we know that? Because you always got them in your hand. You're always doing this. You're connected. You're connected to the other people. You're texting to other people, or you're emailing other people. Or more important than that is that that connection comes face to face. I like that much better, don't you? Rather than texting and all that stuff all the time. Well, you know, we have that convenience now. But if you're able to have that personal face-to-face, that's what's so important with relationships, building that. And that's what we need with Christ Jesus as well. So this daily connection with God we call walking with God. Like Enoch and Moses and Abraham and all of those that sought that daily connection, that daily relationship walking with God. Now, if we are walking with God, we must live in God's light. And that's kind of a metaphor as we look, walking in the light, or walking, Jesus is the light. See, it's a redemptive, joyful fellowship. It's only possible as we abide, as we walk in God's light. So if we will live in God's light, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will continually cleanse us from all sin. And John deals with this. We need to deal with this. We need to accept when we fail. And, you know, it's a cleansing fellowship when we go to God and say, I messed up. I sinned. I came short of your glory. And therefore, he cleanses us when we ask forgiveness. So this is a daily process that we need to do. This cleansing fellowship is rooted in Christians abiding relationship with God. It's that continual abiding relationship. As we read in John chapter 15, Jesus is the vine, we are the branch, and we need to keep that connection. We don't need to be cut off. Not being used by God, but being used for God's service. So, first of all, let's look at a waking light in verse 5. See, the apostles learned from Jesus themselves that God is light. They learned that personally. And John talks about that not only in his epistles, but also in the Gospel of John as well. Now, in verse 5, it says, I want to read that one again, and this is the message. See, the message. It is a message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him nothing at all is darkness. If he's light, there's no darkness. You can be in a dark room, and you can take the smallest little, unique, smallest light, and if it's there, it removes that portion of darkness. You think about that. It's something special. And that special relationship and the walking in the light is very important for the Christian life. And fellowship with God is dependent on reception and the obedience to this divine message, God's divine message. And this message delivered here is that God is light. He's the light of the world. And not only is he the light, the main source, but we are the little light bulbs, right? I would call it that we are to shine. As we walk into a room, if it's dark or it's not well lit, our relationship our fellowship with God should light up the room. Do you light up the room when you walk into it? Do you? Well, you should. I mean, look at, because you're here this morning, we're all lit up in here, aren't we? And we could turn those lights off and still be light in here, right? We have the S-U-N, but we like the S-O-N to light us up, to give us the light, the perfect light. So if you wish to have fellowship with God, you must live in God's light. That's what John is saying here this morning. So this message is not a discovery that we make about God. It's a divine or authoritative relationship, revelation to us from God, from Him, from Jesus Christ. So the sum and the substance of this message this morning is going to be twofold. The first positive thing I want to point out this morning, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all, because He came into this world to remove that darkness. And that darkness is related to what we call sin. It's just not what we call mistakes or I messed up. It's sin. We don't want to sugarcoat it, do we? We shouldn't. It's sin when we sin. So, light represents what is good. You think about that. How many of you like to walk around in the darkness? No. You end up bumping into something, or you stump your toe, or you run into something that's not very, very good. So light represents not only what is good, but what is true and what is holy, and we know God is holy. See, darkness represents what is evil or false. And going back to darkness again, it represents what is sinful. So, John paints a beautiful picture for us about what light is good, it's pure, it's holy, versus what sin is, darkness is sin, it's evil, it's false. And God, as I said a while ago, God's light is a metaphor, a figure of speech. So, when we look at light, it implies integrity, truthfulness, authenticity. And when used for God, it indicates excellence without limits and without Him, okay? So, a power to whose nature it communicates itself by going everywhere except where it is shut out. And we don't want to shut out the light of Jesus Christ at all in our lives. So, it is also a nature of light to shine and reveal, or what I would say, enlighten. We like to enlighten people sometimes, don't we? On the good things. And John enlightens us here about the light. What was once hidden. In the beginning, you know, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was what? Void. It was dark. But then God said, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke it into existence. So, let there be light. And there was light from the very beginning. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And then He said, let there be light. It was the first decree of God, who is our Creator. And on this act of creation, all things rest and depend upon that. So light is the necessary condition of what? Life, growth, and activity. Many of you plant gardens, right? And this year we got all kinds of what? Rain. But also, our gardens depend upon what? Light, sunlight, especially tomatoes and our corn. Corn needs light as well. So there's things in this world that needs the nourishments from the sun and the rain and things like that. We need the nourishment from the Spirit of God, and that helps us to be great living creations in Him. You know, we are to, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, that, you know, if we be in Christ, we're a new creation. So we're created new in Christ Jesus and to walk in the newness of life. So when we look at what John is saying, speaking about here about the light, light reveals the intellectual, moral, spiritual spheres as well as the material universe. So all of these similarities to light and its what I call properties exist because they are a reflection of God's divine nature, light itself. So light exposes those things that are revealed, discovered, or seen as they are. So in the darkness, you know, people can't see you, but when the light comes on, they see you as you are, right? Just as you are. So the only way it can expose things is because the light itself is clear, like crystal. Crystal clear. You're crystal clear, right? Crystal? Of course. And pure and does not have any murky qualities. Light doesn't. So, because it's totally exposed or clear, it exposes all things, including whether something is good or evil. So, again, light is always clear, transparent, evident, and open as far as influence it extends and goes through. So, the entrance of light spreads reality, I would say, all around. See, a darkness allows and falsehood. It allows lies and fosters unrealities, okay? So, but when you look at the light, it I would say it's the naked truth. Why is that? Because it's the very invisible ability, and it exposes what is and what exists. It's not seen because it is so pure. That's what light is. There's a second thing about walking in the light and the characteristics of light. And it stands for holiness, blessedness, sacredness, and purity. See, we like, well, the Bible says the world itself likes darkness rather than what? Light, because their deeds are evil. Now, if we are, as Christians, we should like the light because we can see clearly and it exposes all things. And we, as Christians, should not be hiding anything, and therefore it exposes what is good and pure and holy. So even light, even though light comes in contact with all things, it itself is affected by nothing. You think about that. By nothing. It's affected by nothing. So when we hear that divine message, God is light, it fixes on these two main thoughts. First of all, the thought of revealing through perfect openness, and the thought of perfect holiness and purity. So those are the two things that it exposes or it shows that God is light. Now there's a second part of this verse 5 that expresses the concept a little bit negatively, in a positive way, but it's in that way. In Him is no darkness at all. And it's in verse 5. So, out of light, no darkness can come. So light is symbolic of good, and the darkness depicts evil. It's very clear all the way through the Bible of what distinguished between light and darkness. So God is perfectly holy, and in Him there is no unholiness whatsoever. Just as darkness cannot exist in the presence of light, sin cannot exist in the presence of God. And you know, one of these days, you know, the Bible makes it very clear that there'll be no sin in heaven. And every one of us will be judged according to our deeds or our good works. So, but as a lost person, they will be judged according to their sin. And sin, therefore, will not enter heaven. But thank God, you know, we have the opportunity, as long as we're here on this earth, to be the lights of the world and express to others the light of Jesus can shine in their light as well, so that they too will be a part of God's kingdom one of these days. So great positive truths have their negative implication. So if Jesus is Lord, then I am not Lord. He is Lord. See, there's no deception, no half-truth, no misleading, no impure motives, no portrayal of partialities. See, His utmost depth and inmost recesses have been searched out by the light. And no corruption, evil, wickedness, impurity has been found in Jesus' life at all, or in our Heavenly Father. Because John says there is no dark or negative side to God. There's none. It doesn't matter what the world says, or atheists, or anybody else in this world can say. The Bible proves differently. So, because there is no compromise or concession in Him with darkness, see, He stands as a fold of all darkness, our Lord and Savior, whether moral or intellectual. So, He has no alternative Moses other than He is light and He is light of the world. He has no partiality, shaded ears. God has no need, you know, about the fig tree. He has none at all, no need for fig trees. And in the conclusion here, I want to add one more thought to what John is saying here. There are declarations in scriptures that stand alone as revelation of the nature of God. And throughout the Gospel of John, in Hebrews and so forth, in John 4:24 it says that God is spirit. And in this verse, the whole verse says, when we worship God, we worship Him in spirit and truth. If you want to know truth, Jesus Christ is the truth. Now, I will take it a little bit farther than that. He is the absolute truth, because His promises are faithful and true through generations. And also, in Hebrews 12:29, it says that God is a consuming fire, and He will devour this creation one of these days and replace it with something much newer and better than what it is now. And see, God is light and God is love in 1 John 4:8. You know, love comes through God in Jesus Christ. So these are not attributes like mercy and justice. They are Jesus Himself. So, when we look at God's nature, His essence, and the character of God, the simplest intellect can understand their meaning of all of this. And that means the awe-inspiring cannot exalt it when Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And therefore, you know, we as the little lights of the world, you know, the Bible says that Jesus said that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He was talking about Peter being a little stone, and we are little stones, but we are also little lights. But we can be big lights in this world just as Jesus is himself. When Jesus was talking to the disciples and he was giving them instruction about him going to the Heavenly Father and his desire to take the last communion before he went to the cross, you see, he was wanting them to remember some important things that they had discussed and talked about and things that they had witnessed. And Jesus had shared with them many, many times. And that's why John wrote it the way he did in the Gospel of John and in the Epistle of John, that they were going to be the lights of the world. He came in and he started Jesus wanted them to continue to be lights of the world, to be their witnesses, go and baptize and make disciples out of the world. So you see what our responsibilities are and the things that we can accomplish on the behalf of Jesus, simply because, you know, we can imitate. We are his lights, little lights. We can be big lights as well. Jesus is that ultimate, ultimate light that helps us to understand his glory, his holiness. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the scriptures. We thank you for John, how he has shown us and reveals to us the spoken word through which your Spirit spoke audibly to them exactly what you wanted us to hear, for them to know, for us to hear, for us to carry out, for us to practice in our daily lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you can help us to be and walk in the light. Light of the world. We can be your instruments. We can be your ambassadors to this world. But Lord, on a personal note this morning, as we look at ourselves individually and our relationship with you, Lord, that's you want that intimate connection that we continually, constantly grow, because in our lives there's many opportunities that we can reach out and we can touch someone else with your great love and with your light. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally this morning, I pray that they will step out and walk down this aisle and accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. Lord, we thank you for the invitation that you give us. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I pray that each and every one of us here will be open, sensitive to your leading. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you give us an opportunity every Sunday. Not just on Sunday. We don't have to be here to receive Christ as our Savior. We can be driving in our car, be at home, however your Spirit works. And at that right time, we accept your Son, Jesus Christ. But Lord, for those that's in this sanctuary this morning, you know when the time is right. You know when we need to take that step for you. And I pray that no distraction or anything will keep us from doing that. If there's anyone here that doesn't know, that's looking for a church home, or looking for a renewal, a relationship with you, Lord, this is a good time to do it this morning while your Spirit is at work. We thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our hymn of invitation.